760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey, but truthfully, you give us that joy back exponentially. I'm joined by a litany of saints in the making.
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, maybe
amen,
not for you,
amen.
Dave.
No.
We're working on it.
Absolutely, Dave, too.
The patron saint of dad jokes over here. What do you think about that?
Maybe one day.
And I think Allison is the patron saint today of spontaneous prayers. Do you have one for us?
Of course. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. We thank you for another breath, another day of glorifying you and finding joy on the journey to spread your love to all that we encounter. Prepare us for this week as we are entering into new beginnings. Many are going back to school, Lord, and many people might be starting new jobs. So just guide us wherever we are in our life and our walk and show us the way. Guide us in our words and our actions, and let us always glorify you in every moment, in every step, in every word that we say. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
That was a great prayer.
Thank you.
Well, guys, you're so kind. I love spontaneous prayer.
Yeah, you whipped up a good one. Yeah, we got to be ready to pray, I think, at any moment, right? And I think more be just have an interior sensitivity to the opportunities God places in front of us. Mm-hmm. So this is interesting. I was doing a stand-up show this weekend. It was just really low-stakes event to kind of work on some material for bigger things on the horizon. And I show up, and there's a guy I hadn't seen in years, and I recognized him. We had similar friend groups, things like that. And turns out he's doing stand-up for the first time.
Really?
For the very first time, and he's like 74 years old.
That's great.
And I look down. I didn't know he was Catholic, right? And I see he has a brochure from All Saints. He had just come from Mass at Father Siloway's parish. And I think, oh, my goodness, I didn't know you were in the tribe. This is so cool. So I ask, hey, you want to say a prayer right now? Because, hey, if there's any time you need prayer, it's before you get on stage for the first time doing stand-up comedy, okay? And he was super grateful for that. We bow our heads, you know, we say a little prayer there. And, you know, hopefully that was a small witness in itself because it wasn't a, you know, a Catholic venue or anything like that. But it got me thinking a little bit about my first time doing stand-up and just the thought that you will never be as scared in your life as the first time you were doing stand-up comedy. I remember I showed up at this venue and my dad had talked to this very well-known local Southern comedian who was pretty, like, kind of famous in the Southeast and said, Josh wants to do stand-up. We're going to get him on stage. And so the guy was like, yeah, let's, you know, he's going to call me up in the middle of the show. This was the Punchline Comedy Club.
We show up.
It is sold out.
I've never done
this before. You're talking about close to 300 people in this venue. And I walk in and I tell my dad, you tell him the deal's off. No stand up today. And so my dad walks backstage and said, it's cool. I talked to him. You're not going to be called on stage. You're good to go. I think. Perfect. And halfway into the show, I hear, we got a special guest in the house tonight.
So he was trying to keep your nerves at ease.
I don't think my dad said anything to him. I think, you know how, like, when a bird needs to fly, don't they just, like,
just
kick him out of the nest or something like that?
Oh, my gosh.
They either hit the ground or they fly.
Yeah, and I saw my dad walk back there, and I really don't think he said anything. And I look back, and I now view that as a wonderful altruistic moment in the life of my father towards me, you know, helping me do for me what I, you know, couldn't do for myself. So we got a young guest, Josh Harris, in the house. Who wants to see Josh? And everyone's like, yeah. I mean, they didn't know who I was, but they love this guy. So they're like, yeah.
I would love, my gosh, I get to see Josh walking up there like, okay,
and
here I go.
And I think in that moment, I literally thought about just running out
the door.
Just fleeing like it was a bank robbery or something.
Oh, my gosh.
I still remember, there just happenstance was there's this very pretty lady next to me, and she grabbed my arm and goes, "You gotta do it." And I was like, "I gotta do it." And I walked up there, and I did okay, you know, through God's grace. But, you know, good enough to get back and do it. I really did better than I should have. The crowd was extremely generous. I think I walked off, I was like, "I crushed it." I definitely didn't crush it.
But is there a video?
You know,
I want to see it if there is, Josh.
I don't think so. Although there is a video of a high school graduation speech I gave, and that kind of was like stand-up comedy. But I don't know if it would work on the Quest or not. But, yeah, it's just a reminder, though. You know, praise God that he intercepts us at these critical moments in our lives. And how often has God given us courage that we just didn't have to walk through maybe a defining moment in our journey?
Well, and as you're talking about that, you know, my son, he has just started a new soccer season on a different team. So talking about new beginnings, right?
Yeah.
He loves a sport, you know, but meeting new people, it was kind of nervous here and there, but that seems to be going well. My daughter, she's going to a new high school. My youngest is going into middle school, a new school. So again, as a mom, knowing that there are new beginnings, it's so easy to want to, "Oh, you know what? Let me know what's wrong." Da, da, da. I mean, I'm there supporting them, but yeah, it's beautiful to hear, Josh, how your dad, he knew you could do it. He knew you were going to be okay, and he just let it happen. So sometimes we have to just let our children go, experience something, and we're there for them.
Or he knew you were going to fall flat on your face. And
but it's a good experience. But I know with mine, you know, but I mean, totally, you know, we're always there as parents, loving our kids, and we're their number one fan, truly. So
absolutely.
So new beginnings, a lot of new beginnings for our family too.
I think that's a beautiful witness you just shared, Allison, that, you know, the gift that our parents can give us, sometimes the greatest gift is backing off. Right. And letting us walk through fear, because we want to. I'm sure as a parent, you want to hold your kids' hands all the time.
Oh,
right.
Even this weekend. So Mary, she's playing on a travel girls flag football team. And you know what? It's so hard sometimes just to not want to chime in or not want to talk and say things. It's hard letting your children fly. But we have to. And again, we're always there.
Yeah.
We're always there.
Well, what's that phrase I've heard? They say when you're falling is the best time to learn how to fly, right?
Josh knows from example.
Good point.
There you go.
Just ahead on the Morning Quest.
All right, we got a litany of awesome superstars today just helping us dive deeper into our faith. We have Kathy McCormick, parishioner at St. Thomas Aquinas, unpacking today's gospel. Our buddy Chet Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Pope Innocent. Wow, we got an innocent pope. I hope there wasn't a St. Pope guilty, but anyway, we'll stick with that. All right, Allison picked out this great memory verse. "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." That's Matthew 11:28. T.J. McCausland, former past state deputy for the Knights of Columbus, and his wonderful wife, is it Sherry? Is that her name?
I do believe Sherry.
Sherry, yes. We'll be discussing their incredible mission-minded marriage. But next, our buddy Clarence Burkholder with St. Paul Street Evangelization and parishioner at St. Thomas the Apostle in Smyrna. We're speaking about the importance of evangelizing on college campuses. Boy, do we need to talk to this guy right now. Fantastic.
The Morning Quest continues to find joy in the journey. On AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
We are with Clarence Burkholder from St. Paul Street Evangelization. Thank you so much for joining us as you talk about the important work you're doing evangelizing on college campuses.
Yes, I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're glad you're here, my friend. That's fantastic. And can you briefly share with us the mission of St. Paul Street Evangelization? What drew you personally to this kind of outreach on college campuses?
Well, I guess what drew me to it is I was a teacher by my nature, you know, my gift. And I did things like facilitate Bible studies in the church, and then later facilitate Father Michael Gately retreats. And so I'm evangelizing in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you were talking about getting the courage and
mm-hmm.
to break into sharing your faith. Well, I have been a Catholic for about 10 years, and I was raised a farm boy on a dairy farm. I was very timid and not an extrovert. I was an introvert. And so I became Catholic, and then about 10 years later, I went to Medjugorje, where I was present at an apparition.
Wow.
Really? And I went from an introvert to an extrovert due to the encounter with
being present.
Wow, I did not know about that. That's very powerful.
Yeah, God's grace is wonderful. And and then at that time at my church, they were doing a Feed the Hungry ministry Saturday morning, where they would collect food and take it and share it with them. And I went occasionally, and I thought, well, I'd like to minister to them. So I would pray for them. I thought, well, I might like to have rosary pamphlets or miraculous medals or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I started researching on the web, and I found St. Paul Street Evangelization. And I thought, that's my thing.
Wow.
And we're talking directly to people about the faith. So that's kind of, so I started, and I got my feet wet there. And then I contacted a gentleman here in Snellville. I think his name was Dave, and I believe he's now a deacon. Anyway, he helped me think through how to pull off this ministry, you know.
Wow.
So I spent lots of conversations with him.
No, that is so great. And so when it comes to college campuses, because that's where you tend to be, Clarence, you know, why do you think evangelization, especially in public places like college campuses, is so vital today?
Well, particularly for the students, they're in a turning point in their life. They sort of left their home, their family, and now they're in the new college family. And it's just wonderful to have the Catholic faith present on the campus. Because the opposite can be there of faith, and they can lose their faith quite easily because they have to. They're at the age now; they left home. They have to take ownership of their faith, and so it's very helpful to have St. Paul Street Evangelization on campus, and the other college Catholic ministries as well.
And so, what are some of those college campuses that you visit?
Well, I go to 20 or more, but I go to Kennesaw campus and Kennesaw and the Marietta campus as well. I go to Georgia State downtown Atlanta and UGA and also West Georgia and Carrollton and GGC. It's in Lawrenceville, Georgia Gwinnett College, and also to Georgia Tech.
Wow, that's just a great amount of schools to have a presence of our Catholic faith and somebody who's on fire with the Lord in our faith.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And what does a typical day look like for you when you go do street evangelization at one of these colleges?
Well, a typical day would be like I come with stuff, and I have two tables, and I have lots of rosaries, and I have miraculous medals and pamphlets. And we also have a free book table where people donate books and to offer to the students. And so so we set up at where I have approved a free at the free speech area on campus outside normally. And we set up the tables, and then we engage the students by as they walk by. We say something like, would you like a free rosary? And or we might also say, do you go to church? Or where do you go? And we start a conversation.
Wow.
And then the conversation might be a couple of minutes teaching a rosary. We'd like to share what the rosary is about. Or it might be an hour or more talking about faith with the students.
Are they typically receptive, or do you get some combative engagements? I mean, I could see it going one of two ways. For instance, I could see somebody who is not Christian in any way, shape, or form, so they might be gently receptive or combative for a variety of reasons, or somebody who's Christian but anti-Catholic and they kind of push back on you hard. I mean, what is it typically like?
Well, typically, they're receptive, but at first they don't know who we are or what we're about. You know, like if you're at home and somebody comes to the door, you know, what's it, what are they about?
So
in a minute or less, they probably realize it's safe ground.
Yeah.
And so they're actually not combative. It's very hard to find somebody combative. Now, we do talk about, you know, like with our separated brethren, we talk about the differences in beliefs and stuff. But it usually goes quite well.
Wow. And fantastic.
It's very educational for them and for me. So
wonderful.
Yeah.
So, Clarence, how do you and your team follow up with students who express interest in learning more or returning to the faith?
Well, we encourage, we talk to them about faith and help them. We talk to them about OCIA. We send them to the Catholic Center if there's
awesome.
A lot of campuses have a Catholic Center. And also, a lot of them have the Focus Ministers, mm-hmm. which are approximately four students that graduated and got some training that are Catholic and offering lots of Bible studies and stuff. So we send them to the activities that they have. We also encourage them, even separate from that, just to visit and go to Mass.
Yes.
And we talk to them how they can do that. And the other thing is adoration. I encourage them, like even our separated brethren or
yes.
anybody, an atheist, especially an atheist agnostic, to try out adoration mm-hmm. or try out the Mass, and that it might be a different experience from their past experience that, you know.
Yeah, of their faith upbringing. Yeah, yeah. So if there are students out there, because we know a lot of freshmen are going out to these schools, if there are students out there that are fired up in their faith and want to get involved with St. Paul's Street Evangelization.
Or
at their,
people just, lay people who aren't in college.
Absolutely.
It's for all ages, right, Clarence?
Who feels called.
Correct?
I welcome anyone to join me,
That
a faithful Catholic. And so we love that. And even when we're on campus, if the Student Center active Catholics, we invite them to join mm-hmm. us if they like.
And yeah. So where can people learn more and join you? How can people learn more and join you?
Well, I guess my email would be a good way.
Let's do that.
And so it's cnkburk@gmail.com. That's C as in Charlie, N as in Nancy, K as in Kathy, Burke, B-U-R-K. At gmail.com.
Fantastic. Yeah, yeah. And you've got a schedule of schools you're going to be attending and or visiting. And so, yeah, you can find out all that good information. So reach out to cnkburk@gmail.com. Thank you for joining us, Clarence.
You're welcome. I was glad to be here again.
Thank you, pal. Yeah,
God bless you.
God bless you.
Matt Swaim here. Join Anna Mitchell and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160, The Quest. But for now, let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:21, and we are joined by fan favorite Kathy McCormick unpacking today's gospel. How are you, Kathy?
I'm great. How y'all doing?
Great. Good morning,
this
Kathy.
Fine Monday morning.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, let's get into it. Today's gospel is Matthew 13:31-35. Jesus proposed a parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large shrub, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches. Then he spoke to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Christ.
So the parable of the mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
Both mustard seed and yeast, very small. The mustard seed is 1 to 2 milliliters, or 1/32 to 3/32 of an inch in diameter. And the mustard plant grows to 20 to 30 feet tall, as well as spanning 20 to 30 feet wide.
Wow.
Wow.
So if you think about that, humble beginnings, right? Mm-hmm. And extraordinary growth. So humble beginnings of kingdom of God to extraordinary growth. It's a metaphor for something like maybe the church.
Yeah.
You think about how the church started with Jesus and a handful of disciples and has now grown to global, a global body across the whole world,
mm-hmm.
providing spiritual nourishment. And then the yeast. Yeast is a single cell organism that can multiply 20 to 30 times.
Wow.
And if you think about yeast, it's hidden in the flour. You know, it's just a little bit that transforms, you know, into leavened bread,
yeah.
right? Transforms whatever it is, the dough into something else. And to me, if you think about the Holy Spirit, hidden and transformative grace that's inside us through our baptism and confirmation, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and it works in our hearts, it works in society, it works in our church, but invisible with profound effects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to your first point, Kathy, we've got a little patristic insight that it sounds like you and St. John Chrysostom are on the same page, because he said the gospel preached is like this mustard seed, seemingly small, but its preaching has been spread abroad everywhere and has been raised and has raised up innumerable churches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that if we look at the mustard seed and yeast, it's, I mean, tiny little ordinary things, mm-hmm. easily overlooked.
Yeah.
Yet full of hidden potential. And so if we think of us, tiny little things
yes.
in the kingdom of God, but we have such potential if we invite God to work in us.
Mm-hmm.
And even the small things can make huge changes. Like the prayer that you had, Josh, with the man who is about to go on to stage for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a small thing, but that had to have profoundly affected him.
Mm, oh, thank you.
We'll never know. You know, mm-hmm. we'll never know. And I think that's what we have to do. And the other thing too is participation of the faithful. The woman had to put she had to work the dough. The sower had to plant the seed.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to participate in the life and cooperate with grace so that we can do those amazing things in the kingdom of God. Again, a small thing, but we can definitely, if we're open, you know, if we're open to be planted, if we're open to be infused into society, taking the word of God in.
Yeah.
And then giving it out like Clarence does.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, think of the changes he's making in people's lives on campus.
No, absolutely.
So all of that, you know, I think that our lesson today really is to think about what is it that, but, well, first of all, how can you be yeast mm-hmm. in your family yeah. and parish and workplace? What is it that you can do that can help the community grow in faith? And is there something in your life that God has begun that you now can see growing?
Mm.
Yeah. I think that, you know, sometimes we, I mean, even if you're walking, I think about RCIA, OCIA.
Oh, yes. Walking with folks. Yes.
Walking with folks. You see, you can be, it's a privilege to walk with folks as they journey toward the fullness of the faith.
Yeah.
I remember I was in a Bible study with a young woman who I had met the week before, and I know she had a Bible that was not a Catholic Bible. It was a Protestant Bible. And for some reason the Lord kept that on my heart. And I finally said, okay, I got to buy this woman a Bible. I don't know who she is.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I got to buy her a Bible. I brought her a Catholic Bible. She was like, she shared with me, this is so wonderful. I'm coming into the church. I'm going through OCIA right now and coming into the church, and how wonderful this is. I have this one that my, you know, family member gave me, which means something to me, but this is so beautiful. I also gave her a catechism.
Yeah.
And she said, thank you so much. We ended up being roommates.
Wow.
And I watched her come into the church and, you know, a longtime friend, and that, you know, that faith blossomed, you know, it touched me. It's funny when you give something, how much it actually impacts
you. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you never know what God's prompting you to do, a small thing.
Yeah.
Give a Bible to somebody, which is the word of God. It's not necessarily a small thing, but it's a gesture that, you know, can really help someone's faith grow.
Or how about even smile at somebody, acknowledge somebody, say hello, good morning.
And isn't it an encouragement that there's no step towards God that's too small?
Oh, yeah.
Right. I think a lot of times we get paralyzed because we think we've got to take this massive leap. But, you know, this little kid gave Jesus 2 fish and 5 loaves, mm-hmm. and 5,000 people were provided for. You know, honest offering to the Lord, even if it's just a crumb, he can magnify and multiply.
He magnifies, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think that, you know, I look to you two, the joy that you guys bring people is infectious.
Mm. Oh, thank you.
You know, Josh, you get on stage, you help people laugh.
Thank you.
Allison, you are always full of joy.
My kids might not always say that, but I normally am.
But, you know, those kinds of things are just, it's a great way to start the morning. And it's a gift to the community here in Atlanta. So keep it up, because you're bringing the Lord to people, so many people.
Oh, we love this. Amen. Yeah, thank you, Lord,
Kathy,
for the opportunity.
For everything.
God bless you guys.
You make our lives better, and your reflections make us a little bit better at life. We are grateful for you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. And for some good news heading your way, boy, do we need a little bit of good news in our life. The church has officially recognized, check this out, the healing of an Italian woman as the 72nd miracle of Lourdes.
Oh.
Yeah, pretty cool. Cool stuff, right? So, Antonia Rocco, diagnosed with ALS, a progressive and incurable disease, traveled to Lourdes in 2009. She arrived in a wheelchair, barely able to breathe or swallow. Isn't that something? And she enters these baths, right? And prayed deeply. Days later, back home, she stood up unaided for the first time in years.
Oh, my gosh.
Doctors have also, by the way, confirmed the diagnosis was real, but her recovery remains medically inexplicable. So after 16 years of rigorous medical and theological investigation, the church affirms it is a true miracle. Wow.
Later on the Morning Quest.
We're closing out strong with TJ and his wife, Sherry, discussing their mission-minded marriage. By the way, our buddy TJ is the past state deputy for the Knights of Columbus in Georgia. But next, our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Pope Innocent I.
AM 1160, The Quest. You're Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison. Mondays, Get Acquainted with the Sainted is sponsored by VerseBright.
It's 8:32.
Who's on the agenda today, Chuck?
Good morning, Josh. So July 28th marks the feast day of Pope St. Innocent I. This was a man whose papacy spanned the years 401 until his death on the 12th of March in the year 417. He was a native of Albano, Italy, and that's actually the second reference to that city over the last few days, as St. Bonaventure, as you might remember, was also born in Albano. Why would a pope take the name Innocent? 13 popes have chosen that name. I was surprised at that number, to be honest with you. I didn't think there were that many.
I'll tell you why. He's innocent until proven guilty.
Well, yes, that is true. That is true in our society. But, I thought there would be like 4 or 5 popes who took that name. But Pope Innocent XIII, obviously the last pope to choose that name, passed away in the year 1724. So we haven't had someone take that name in quite some time. Of the 13 popes that have chosen the name Innocent, only today's subject, Innocent I, has achieved sainthood.
Wow.
Innocent V and Innocent XI are blesseds, so they're close, or at least they would appear to be close. I should also point out
that... So you're saying they're innocent until proven saints.
Yes. Yes, I like that.
Okay.
That would be a good title for the autobiography of St. Innocent XI, who's probably the more prominent of the two. Pope Innocent XI, innocent until proven saint. I like that. Let's go with that. Get a copyright on that.
There we go.
But I should also point out that none of the others have made it to venerable or servant of God, which are the steps along the way to sainthood. So it doesn't appear that any of the others are in the pipeline, at least at the moment. But as we know, popes oftentimes choose the name of a saint that they admired. A good example of that would be Pope Francis recently, taking Francis in a nod to his love for Francis of Assisi. Perhaps even a predecessor pope had a strong influence on them, and they in turn wanted to follow along in that tradition. In fact, we see that with Pope Leo XIV, our current pope, who took the name Leo in honor of Leo XIII, who is not currently up for sainthood and may never be. We don't know. His papacy, which concluded about 100 years ago, is still being evaluated. And as we know, these things take time. Patience is a virtue. Our church knows that. Papal historians believe that Pope Innocent I chose the name Innocent because it is a name that represents purity without any preconceptions, similar to that which is seen in children who have no bad experiences, who are always open to others, who have no prejudices. Mm-hmm. Our Lord, all throughout Scripture, talks about the cultivation of this childlike faith, and I think the popes have really taken that very important message to heart. We've been reading some of these passages at Daily Mass over the last few days, and here was a pope who really took this message to heart. As pope, he aggressively sought to extend the authority of the Roman Apostolic See. He was considered a very stern and authoritative leader. He was seen as the general arbitrator of ecclesiastical disputes in both the East and the West. He confirmed the prerogatives of the Archbishop of Thessalonica on disciplinary matters, referred to him by the Bishop of Rouen at the time. He defended the exiled John Chrysostom and consulted with the bishops of Africa concerning the Pelagian controversy, confirming the decisions of the African synods. Now, with regard to Chrysostom, he had been disposed for defending Origenism at the so-called Synod of the Oak in the year 403, which was presided over by the Alexandrian Patriarch Theophilus. Chrysostom appealed to Innocent for support. Innocent summoned Theophilus, the Patriarch of Alexandria, to a new synod in Rome while sending letters of consolation to the exiled Chrysostom. Would love to read these letters. Yeah. As well as an epistle to the clergy and people of Constantinople, over which Chrysostom resided. He was their bishop, in which he scolded them severely for their conduct towards their bishop, the now great Saint John Chrysostom. So we see that he chose the right side in that particular dispute. Mm-hmm. As mentioned, he died on the 12th of March in the year 417. Catholic priest scholar John Peter Kirsch, 1,500 years later, described Innocent as, and I quote, a very energetic and highly gifted individual who fulfilled admirably the duties of his office. Generally considered one of the greatest popes of the 5th century.
Wow.
They remained entirely faithful amidst a hard struggle in a very difficult time. He lived at a time of the fall of the Western Roman Empire, when it seemed as if a multitude of accumulated chastisements fell over the empire all at once. Yet we see that the Roman state disappeared. The church produced great popes, and it thrived. Not ecumenical popes, but rather warrior pontiffs who relentlessly mm-hmm. fought against the heresies, making continuous excommunications and wounding the enemies of the church as much as they could. And our church today is far better for it. And his relics reside in the Gandersheim Abbey. And there you have Pope Innocent the First.
Gosh, that's interesting. And he defended Orthodox doctrine during a time of major heresies and schisms.
Yeah, yeah, this was a difficult time.
That early church was a minefield, man. And he was a strong opponent of Pelagianism that denied original sin and claimed humans could achieve salvation without divine grace.
Yeah.
And he supported St. Augustine of Hippo, affirming the necessity of grace and salvation.
Yep. Once again, he was on the right side of history with that one.
Yep, yep, yep. And he was a primetime player in the Council of Carthage, which condemned Pelagianism as well. I mean, his endorsement gave some major weight to this council's authority.
Yeah.
And that's good to look back at and think, you know, praise God that God inserts these theological giants into these snapshots of time to preserve the faith, to stand up for the faith, to, you know, make sure that the authenticity of the faith lives on. I think we are a lot of times maybe ungrateful recipients of these giants that we're kind of standing on the shoulders of.
Yep. And it's just another reminder that we should, as Catholics and Christians, we should always be optimistic because God will provide these leaders at any point in time. I'm sure that well past the 5th century, there were many who thought that the church was on the ropes, but the church is never on the ropes. You know, our Lord has said that, you know, the gates of hell will not prevail, and that's a promise. And, we just always get these great leaders at the right time. We get all these great saints at the right time. It's just part of this great mosaic that our Lord God has put together. And until our Lord Jesus returns, we can always count on the fact that it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be a rocky ride. It's been a rocky ride at times in our church, such as during this 5th century, but great men and great women rise, and we win in the end.
And here's, I believe, a quote from one of his letters, which this translation from Latin, but it says, "What has been established by the apostolic see must be observed." Interesting stuff there. So cool.
Yeah, papal authority was a calling card of his papacy, and he looked to extend that authority and that reach at a time when strong leadership was needed, and that was him. He was a strong leader.
And then another one, which I think this is more of a paraphrase based on the original Latin, but it says, "Nothing should be decided unless the case has first been brought to the apostolic see."
Right. We take our time to settle these disputes in a way that is in accordance with the workings of the Holy Spirit, because these are men who are filled with the Holy Spirit. In the case of Pope Innocent the First, again, one of the greatest popes of the 5th century, we take our time and we get it right. And it needs to be brought before the Roman Apostolic See, all of these issues. They're too important. You have to get it right.
And it's so cool that he was the pope when the Alaric and Visigoths sacked Rome in 410 AD. This was catastrophic, and it shook the Christian world. Innocent had been negotiating peace and returned to a devastated city. But his leadership helped stabilize the Roman church during this crisis.
Yeah. This was commonplace all throughout. You know, the Roman Empire was obviously immensely powerful, and they had Christianity in their crosshairs time and time again. Mm. And again, there were many times when it looked like Christianity would topple, but we know that that did not happen and will not happen.
Amen.
Pope St. Innocent the First.
Pray for us.
Finding joy in the journey. This is The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on your Atlanta Catholic Radio. AM 1160, The Quest.
Dad her up, because we got Dave Joke.
Dad Joke Savage.
Yeah,
oh,
Dad her up, Dave Savage. Dave Dad her up, Savage.
There we go. It's time for Monday Memes at 8:41, and these are inspirational, which are the ones Allison likes.
Which I don't think you have any today.
No. Oh. We'll find one or two.
It's all good. It could be humorous.
It could be anything in between. Yes. Like this one. I think you'll relate to, even though it's not inspirational, you'll relate to this one, Allison.
Go for it.
1 minute, you're young and wild. The next, your favorite weekend activity is standing at the window admiring the lawn you just mowed.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, there's something about lawns.
I know you. Yeah, oh, you get into
gosh.
It.
There's
I do.
There's a guy I know, haven't seen in a while, but he opens for Nate Bargatze now, actually.
Oh, cool.
His name's Joe Zimmerman. Very funny, clean comic. But he talks about when he was a kid, you know, you were so excited to play with your neighbors outside. Like, this is all we need. Each other. We don't even want to have dinner. You know, like, can we please leave the dinner table to go play? He's like, dinner and bedtime, that's all I have now.
Exactly.
He's like, you ever move into a new place and there you see a neighbor, you're like, if this guy talks to me, I'm going to be furious. Oh, how times can change.
Absolutely. It amazes me how much exercise and extra fries sound alike.
Oh my gosh, Dave. Oh my gosh. That was crazy.
Now this one, well, let me just say it. Tomorrow is not promised. Call your siblings and tell them they're ugly.
Oh, no. Dave.
And I was debating because this is The Quest and it's Catholic Radio. But I was debating on should I say this one or not. But I think so, because that's what siblings do.
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
gosh.
I mean, you call them up and say, hey, you're ugly. You know?
Listen, the way my...
But, I mean, that shows love.
Well, I don't know. That might really hurt their feelings. So how about we turn it around, call your siblings and say, you know what? I love you. Please forgive me for all that I've done wrong.
I think your siblings would take it wrong. My siblings would. they would know. They would feel the love if I said that.
Okay, Dave.
Parenting is buying 6 yogurts and watching them all get eaten in one day. Oh. Then you buy 12 yogurts and they expire because nobody likes yogurt. Have you ever experienced that kind of thing?
Well, you know, so my kids are not big yogurt eaters.
Well, but anything.
But anything?
Yeah.
Oh, food. It's gone in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Happiness comes when we stop complaining about the troubles we have and offer thanks for all the troubles we don't have.
True.
Yeah.
That's happiness right there.
Absolutely. That's a good word, Dave.
Coming up on The Morning Quest.
Closing us out strong, TJ and Sherry McCausland discuss their mission-minded marriage, especially in light of their service to the Knights of Columbus.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Coming up at 10 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest. Join us for more to life.
But now let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
We are joined by TJ and Sherry McCausland. TJ is the former state deputy, past state deputy for the Knights of Columbus, and they've been on a beautiful mission to serve our community and the church through their beautiful witness and mission-minded marriage. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Oh, we are so glad that you can be here today. And it's just so incredible to see the thumbprint you've left, not just on our diocese, but also the Savannah diocese as well. It's really incredible. And how has your marriage been a source of strength and inspiration throughout your years of service, you know, with the Knights of Columbus and you, I believe, with the Columbiettes as well? Love to hear how teamwork makes that dream work.
Actually, no, I'm not in the Columbia.
Okay.
So we don't have a chapter of that at my parish currently, but we do have like the Rosary Makers Bereavement Committee, and you know the Knights Wives do support.
Oh wow!
The council there. So I'm, you know, in the middle of all of that as well, and have been for over 20 years now.
Wow!
Dedication.
You're a veteran.
Oh yeah, yeah, just a little bit.
You're a professional Catholic. That's awesome.
Yeah, professional Catholic. There we go.
There you go. And we know how important, by the way, rosary makers, I mean, prayer is the, that's the thumbprint. That's the engine that fuels the all these heroic service activities, right? I would think, you know, especially as a knight, you certainly feel that, TJ.
Well, definitely. We every meeting starts with the prayer, and Some guys don't pray on a regular basis, and some people don't pray in public because they're told not to.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Well, Jesus told you to pray in the inner room, not...
Yeah, not on the streets, right?
That's right. So not a lot of men are forthcoming with their prayers, but,
yeah.
You know, we do a lot of praying together at meetings, and we are starting to push our unity mass more and more, where the Knights come as a group to
wow.
Mass, which is... one of our more powerful prayers.
Well, and I would love to know, is someone who has been in this position, right? You were, this is not a 1 year tenure. It's a 12-year commitment if you are the state deputy for the Georgia Knights of Columbus. Is that correct?
That's correct. You started as warden and you work your way up for 8 years and it's basically on the job training and
yeah.
2 years as state deputy.
So I would love to know between the both of you, how important is it, you know, that your wife is on board with this and that it is like a collaborative effort in this journey?
Well, if your wife isn't, because there's a lot of time and commitment, a lot of travel commitment, and I go a lot of places and they say, well, where's Sherry? And I don't want to tell them she's home like doing all the housework that needs to be done that I'm failing to do.
Yeah.
You know, but, somebody's got to stay home and take care of the dogs and the kids and, you know, make sure the house keeps running. And then, you know, I do it for her, I don't know, about one time out of 100 times she does it for me.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Yeah, and that's so beautiful, too, because Jesus, I mean, talked about, right, there's a particular beauty in serving when you're not getting all the credit. I mean, you're on a very public platform a lot of times when you're serving and contributing, but there is something I think particularly endearing when you're doing things behind the scenes, right, and making that engine run.
Oh, yeah. I could not have succeeded without Sherry, you know, helping. And there were times where she said, you could have done this better or that better, and it just, you know, improves you throughout the years and, you know.
Yeah.
As
always positive, always positive.
Yeah, she was.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm sure it's just been smooth sailing, right? A yellow
sure.
brick road.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, he's done a lot. I mean, he stepped up. Mm-hmm. I think he did, he took example from some really prominent former state deputies, and he followed in their footsteps, and he improved as he went along. And I'm sure the new state deputy will do the same. Kevin's a great guy, and Charlotte is a very supportive wife. And we have absolute confidence in handing off to them and going, yeah, they've got this.
One thing I noticed about you, Sherry, as well, when we went to the convention in Savannah, is just like the joy you exuded, right? And it never seemed like a burden that you were there. I mean, there was this piece about you that was clearly co-signing and collaborative in this mission. And so I would love to know, how do y'all see your marriage as a witness to perhaps younger couples in the church or other knights, right? Especially those discerning how to live out their faith together.
It proves that we can work together as a team on something that's outside of the house, but it's still a big part of our marriage because it does bring us together and it gives us time to put our differences beside, because we all, let's face it, we all have little different opinions and attitudes, but it gives us an opportunity to sort of put that aside and, okay, this is our goal today. This is what we're going to accomplish. And if you take that little bites, it makes it so much easier for you to really accomplish what your goal is.
That's very powerful, because we forget, sometimes we get so lost in the differences, but what you're talking about, I think, is really poignant to me, because you're living for something bigger than yourselves. And when you keep your mind on that, it almost transcends whatever those momentary differences are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it just made it so much smoother, I think, when we were able to do that. And as long as you can do that, you can get through anything, I think.
And ultimately, what's the biggest thing that transcends this is our Lord and Savior, Jesus.
Absolutely.
So if we're looking up and not, side to side, I mean, that's kind of like, I've heard it described as a triangle. And the husband's on one end and the wife's on the other, and Jesus at the top. And the closer you get to the pinnacle of that triangle, the closer you actually come together.
So that's beautiful.
Yeah. It's a great witness you guys have. Are there particular acts of service or ministries that y'all have taken on together that stand out, like perhaps defining moments in the journey?
Well, we were both catechists for a number of years.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
And so, that kind of... It educated me in my faith because I had to keep ahead of the kids.
You do.
But that's where we started. And then from there, it kind of branched out. The Knights, were doing things. And, I wanted to join the Knights when I was a kid. But I never got asked. And then I got to our parish and I still kind of wanted to join the Knights, but we did the catechism for a while, and then finally one guy asked, and then it took another 4 years. So
wow,
really?
Before you said yes completely.
Yeah. So,
how long ago was that, if you don't mind me asking?
With Sherry, she's only 29, so it was like 2 years ago.
And that's why we're married.
Smart man, TJ. Smart man.
That's fantastic. Have you guys? Well, one thing, the catechist, that's huge, right? Because you're teaching other people about the faith and you're learning about the faith as well. So this is something you guys were doing together. Is that correct?
Yes.
Fantastic. So have there been any other mentorship experiences, perhaps with other couples or, service that especially within the Knights? I'll back up and say, what advice would you give to couples seeking to serve the church more intentionally together?
Do it.
Amen.
step in, and it's actually very, very rewarding. You just let yourself go. Find your avenue within the community that you click with. I mean, that's what we did. That's why we both became, teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Many people overthink it, and they want to think about it. What you do, when I say do it, is you just jump off the ledge, jump in, start doing stuff. If you don't like it, do something else. So, because I've seen hundreds of people sitting on the side thinking, well, I need to do something more. It's like, well, stop talking and do.
Or I need to know somewhat, like a catechist, hence. A lot of catechists, you don't know everything about the faith. It's you learn in the process, and as you're teaching, you're growing in your faith, or just thinking, I've got to have all my ducks in a row. I've got to know everything. I've got to be an expert at this before I jump in. That's not the case when it comes to ministries. You just have to get in there and learn and grow and see how the Holy Spirit works.
Absolutely. And that's a powerful message that you guys shared, because I think a lot of times we think, well, I'm not qualified, so I'm not called. And it's like, no, God, you know, qualifies the called, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's a great point, that you just take the next step in front of you. It doesn't have to be this profound. Don't go and meditate in a cave for 3 decades and then come out and say, now I know what I'm supposed to do. You know, you're able, you get your hands a little bit dirty, right? And if it's, if that particular lane is not your love language, well, pray and ask God and a spiritual director what may be, but just take the next step, because no yes to God is too small and will be unfulfilled.
And how about when it comes to prayer? You know, how important is prayer in a marriage, in helping you grow closer to one another with Christ in the church, and to volunteering and being active in different ministries?
I'm still alive because she prays.
Amen. Amen.
Sure. Okay.
That's funny. Well, praise God for y'all's witness. And by the way, really quick, where can people go to learn more about the Knights of Columbus? Because I know that y'all's heroic thumbprints are all over that organization.
Well, there's GA for Georgia, K for Knights, OF for OF, C for Columbus.org, or K for Knights, OF for OF, C for Columbus.org.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, TJ and Sherry McCrossin, for your wonderful witness that is sending ripple effects throughout multiple dioceses and beyond. Again, we are truly, truly grateful. One more time, we've been talking with TJ McCrossin, past state deputy for the Knights of Columbus, and his wonderful wife, Sherry McCrossin. Again, y'all have left such a beautiful thumbprint on our faith and our diocese, and we're truly grateful.
Thank you.
Well, that has been an amazing, amazing hour. Holy hour, shall we say. And we look forward to doing it with you again tomorrow. Glory be to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.